I cannot stand the Dallas Cowboys. Anyway, but my name is Christian. My wife, Catherine, of 19 years, is with me. I have my daughter, Gianna. She's 16. She's with me. Ethan, he's 12. Lucas is 8. My oldest son, Christian, he's 18. He's on house arrest in Philly. No, but he just can't get here because of work. He don't work on Sunday, but he's working yesterday and tomorrow morning. But I am born and raised in the city of Philadelphia. Oh, I do have a fifth child. I feel terrible if I don't. Her name's Everly Hope. And Everly Hope was a little girl born to us at November 18th, just this past year. She lived 7 days, and then she passed away with a rare disease called encephalocele. So pray for us because we're still healing. And she was a miracle baby. The MRI was amazing. They gave her a lot of good hope. So we named her Ever Hope, Everly Hope. And then she passed away from some negligence. And that negligence made me bitter. Did you ever get bitter because of circumstance and life? And so last night we spoke about revival. And I was already going through this before the pastor asked me to come. And studying Psalms 51, that's where we'll be today. So you can turn your Bible there. But asking the Lord for revival, and I realized I lost my joy. Now, that was a great song. People do need the Lord, and the only way they're going to find Jesus Christ is through you and me. But if we're miserable, did you ever meet a miserable salesman? Right? You're not going to buy the product. They're miserable. You go to a drive-thru, and they're miserable. You almost want to drive out of the drive-thru, right? I mean, miserable people don't draw us in. And I became very bitter. I was very miserable. Still can be a little sad. That's okay. You're allowed to be sad. And you can be angry without sin. Amen? But, man, they did our daughter wrong. But God has her. We're going to see her again. And so, Everly Hope, that's her name. I have her little tag. I keep it with me. My little tie clip, that's her initials. That's my fifth daughter, or my fifth kid. And we're done now. Amen? I'm 40, and that's it for us. But I come from a family of 8. I'm born in the city. I'll speak fast. I'll speak loud. I'll spit all over the place. I'm an Italian, okay? That's 100%. And so that's how we do it. And in Philadelphia, born and raised, playground's where I spent most of my days, chilling out, relaxing, and acting cool. I'm not cool, but my kids will say, "Dad, stop," right? I don't know how they speak their language anymore with LOL, and they have all these short words like that, right? TMI. I got to get used to that new language, but the Lord has really delivered us, and he's delivering us every day. But I was a pastor's kid, saved at the age of 8. Didn't realize what I truly had till I was 16. Then I didn't realize what I truly even had then until 26 years old, fell off a granite truck. My mic's not on? You think I need it? I'm loud. I'm hitting the power button. Oh, it's on the side. Wait, is that mute? I muted it.
Good?
You're good.
Good. We're good. See, you can't trust us boys from Philly. All right, that's a nice mic. I might just walk out with that on my hip. Amen. And a nice clock up here. That thing, I'm blind to one eye. I can't see that. I'll keep my eye there. I won't keep you long. I speak very fast. But man, at 27, the Holy Spirit said, "That's my life you have." And then we've been through ups and downs in life. We're inner city, like I said, right on Broad Street. I mean, rats run down the road, right? We don't hear crickets. The only cricket we have is a telephone company, all right? I mean, if you hear a cricket in the city, you're like, what is that? You know, we hear yelling and shootings. Just last week we had shootings. Just the other day, a guy tried to break in our home, smashing through our glass. That's just how we live. And we're used to that. So we get out here and we get nervous. It's quiet. There's like devil worshipers out here, right? And Chainsaw Massacre guy lives out here. We get nervous. But man, I lost our joy. So last night we spoke on getting our joy back. Psalms 51, David's a sinner just like me. I don't know if you're a sinner or not, right? I think people think when we get saved that we're not sinners anymore, but your body has not gotten saved yet. And your body will never get saved. Your soul has gotten saved. And so therefore you carry this body of flesh. Flesh and blood can never inherit the kingdom of God. All right, so you're stuck with a sinful flesh that draws us to sin. And David was drawn to sin, and he fell into sin, and we know what he's done. And so David has to get right with God. And so do I. But why does David have to get right with God? If you look down in Psalms chapter 51, if I could just find a verse, in verse 13, he says, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." What's the whole goal of Jesus Christ coming to earth? To save sinners. And what's the goal after you become a saved sinner? To save sinners. Now, you can't save them, but you can lead them to the one who can.
That's Jesus Christ. And so our goal is to do that. But if we lost our joy, we're never going to do it. And sometimes we lose our joy because of a death in our family, like Everly. Everly made me, she didn't make me miserable, but the circumstance took my joy away. It could be stress of life. Man, don't we live in a stressful place? I mean, they tell you what gender they are, and you got to believe them. And if you don't believe them, you're a racist. It's like, what? We're, especially in the city. The city of Philadelphia is very democratic. And nothing, no problem if you're a Democrat. I love you, and Jesus loves you too. Amen. And the same if you're a Republican but or an independent. I don't get into politics. Jesus is my king. That's who I serve. But I'll tell you, we live in a bad city where they come to our church door, and they tell us that we got to believe what they are, and it's a battle for us. And boy, that stress can make you miserable. You want to act the wrong way, and I'm an Italian with a temper that carries a gun. You know, look out, right? Who you talking to, right? And man, I had the godfather of the mob come try to get our offering from us. I mean, we just go through one battle after another. Stresses of life can take your joy, or just your sin. You continually doing something you know that God doesn't approve of. By the way, if Jesus rules your life, you don't need rules. I'm not here to give you rules. I don't believe in a church that gives rules. Jesus should rule your life. And if Jesus rules your life, you don't need man's rules. Amen? So let him rule. And so David realized he wasn't ruling, and so he gets real. I use an acronym. He revealed himself to God. He revealed all his secrets. You know, he got honest with God. We say in the city, man, be for real, right? Be for real. I tell people that all the time. Be real, and God wants you to be real. And when you're real with him, you'll eliminate excuses. E, eliminate all excuses. It's nobody else's problem that you're miserable. It's your own. You should have the joy of the Lord. What does Jeremiah say? The joy, or Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my... There you go. Without the joy, you have no strength. No joy, no strength to read. No strength to pray. No strength to share it with somebody else. You need strength to stand up for Jesus Christ in the world you're living in. The world I'm living in, don't you? You need it. Because it's a pressured place. I mean, now we're in a place where they call good evil, and they call evil good. They wanted me to abort Everly from day one in the womb, all the way to the day she was born. And then on the day she was born, they still wanted to abort her. Then they decided they're not going to help her. They froze her to death. She died 30 degrees. A little preemie baby. She was a miracle. Would have been alive still. She is alive, just not here, thank God, out of this crazy place. But that's what they call good, killing your child. And yet, prisoners on death row were trying to save their lives. We live in a backwards place. Man, it'll mess us up. And we need to stand. And unless we stop and get real with ourselves and real with God, we're never going to have the joy of our salvation back. You need the joy because it's your strength. And so, man, we need to reveal our secrets to God. We need to eliminate all excuses. It's not mom's fault, not dad's fault, not the pastor's fault. Amen. I like that point. It's your fault. It's my fault. I'm my worst enemy. I love to blame my wife for my attitude some days. Right? But it's my fault. I'm the problem. And then once we eliminate excuses, we ask God in faith to wash and cleanse us. And now we got to let him do it. And this is how he does it. Today's message is create a clean heart in me, oh God. And so we need revival of our joy, a revived heart. And by the way, I've never seen a dead man revive a dead man. That would be crazy, right? We say 302 somebody that says stuff like that. How about this? Have you ever ran into a hospital and said, "Revive me! I'm dead!" Uh-oh. What's he on, right? He's smoking something he should not be smoking, right? What did he drink? I'm telling you, we get those crazies in the city all the time. They come right in our church. But, man, you cannot revive somebody if you're not revived, right? And you can't be revived unless you're dead. And so if you want true revival, true joy of his salvation back in your heart, where you're excited once again to know that you're just going to heaven. Amen? I mean, we serve God and we do a lot of other things. Great. That's great. But that don't bring joy. Knowing where you're going brings you joy. And so if you know where you're going and you have confidence in God's word, you'll have that joy. So you need your mind, your heart, that's the biblical heart, the mind, create it all over again. Now we're going to use the word heart as an acronym. You'll never forget this message because of this word, heart. And God gave us the answer to our problem. It is the heart. Amen? It is our hearts. And so after we pray, real quick, we'll go through the word heart and see how we can have this new heart. Because as a believer, don't you get miserable? Don't you get worn down? Don't you lose your joy? And somebody beside you is on their way to hell and you don't even care. You just don't care. Or somebody is giving you a hard time and you want them to go to hell. Yeah, my neighbor, He is the hardest guy to live with. He really is. I mean, we live in a home that's smashed together. They call row homes. You guys have seen them. I could play checkers with them right outside my window, right? I can smell what his wife's cooking. Yeah. That's like The Rock. I can smell something cooking. But I could smell somebody's cooking. What are they cooking? Man, she makes Italian cookies. Oh, man, I can smell them. I get hungry late at night. That's bad. But it's also bad because they hear us. And boy, he likes to fight with me. He punches me and spits on me. And he jabs me and pokes at me. And man, I almost want him to die and go to hell. That's just being honest, right? I'm being for real, for real. And then the Holy Spirit says, well, I could have let you go into hell. And yet I died for you. While you were yet a sinner, I died for you on a cross. Shed my blood for you. Man, Jesus convicts me through his Spirit. And then he says, now you need to tell Mike. And I say, no, I don't want to tell Mike. I don't want to tell him the good news. He don't deserve good news. And the Lord convicts me. And so I decided I'm just going to be full of joy anymore. And Mike is now nice to me. I'm just happy, even when he spits on me. Hey, yo, you must have brushed your teeth, Mike. That smells so much better than the other time, right? He gets it. Oh, blankety blank you, pastor. And he goes in his house. But after our daughter Everly, he has calmed down towards us. Amen. And the other day he was telling me he's repentant. Now, we'll see. But pray for him, Mike Bennett. That's his name. But boy, sometimes I just don't care if he goes to heaven or not. Isn't that crazy? No, it's not. That's real. And if you would be honest, you'd say the same about those, your enemies. Jesus says, love your enemy. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Bless them that, what? Curse you. Don't curse them back. Oh boy, my old stone. When I grew up in a pastor's home, but that made me a pastor's kid. And you know us pastor's kids. Right? We're just sinners. By the way, never tell a kid he's bad because that makes you look good. And the Bible says there is none good. No, not one. Your kids aren't bad. They're sinners. That's all they are. And they need a Savior. And if they have the Savior, they need to learn how to obey him. If Jesus rules, they don't need rules. But until Jesus rules, I'm going to give them rules. Amen? All right. Psalms 51 verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a what heart? A clean heart. Man, is your heart dirty? You'll say, I don't think so. Yeah, it's dirty. If you had to think about it. Compared to God's holiness, hell is your heart. Now, don't compare it to my heart. You think I'm holy? I'm not. Hang with me. I had an attitude this morning. I burned my lip with coffee. I wanted to toss that coffee across, and I realized I was in a hotel lobby. Right? By the way, thank you for your generosity and kindness to me and my family. We're just used to sleeping in the pews if we had to. We don't travel much. This is country to me. I'm scurred out here. Amen? Scurred. Psalms 51, though, David says, create in me a clean heart. Now, we're going to learn how God does that with the word heart. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the word heart is what we're going to use. And the first two letters in the word heart form the word what? He. He. He is the creator. He is God. Man, you cannot create a clean heart in yourself no matter how hard you try. You can come to the altar, and we'll have an altar call at the end. If you can't get here, pray in your seat. But all the prayers you want, and all the altar calls you want, all the Bible reading you want, all the soul winning you want, all the serving you want, all the trying to do better you want, and your heart can never be clean. Because God, the Creator, is the one who can only clean it. That's right. He's the creator of the world. He is the master. He's in control, whether you think he is or not. But Democrats or Republicans better get a hold of that. He's in charge. He'll put a king up and he'll take a king out. That's what he does. He's done it with Pharaoh. He's done it with kings, Nebuchadnezzar. He sets them up and he takes them out to do his bidding for him. And God's in control. This is his world. This planet is not ours. He's the creator. Am I ringing? I'm good? All right. I just thought I was ringing. And whose heart can only be created by God. And he only creates things out of what? Nothing. And until you become nothing, God can do nothing with you. That's right. You want joy? You want salvation? You want a new life? Then you got to give up yours. You got to become zero. You got to give up everything you thought it was your way to heaven, your way to serve him, your way to get clean. You got to become nothing. God created this world out of nothing. Out of nothing. And yet we think if we do something, God will do something with us. That's not how he works. You have to let go, and who? Let, there you go. Part two of our message last night, we said, let him do it. How do I let him do it? Get out of the way. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Your ways are not my ways, because your thoughts are not my thoughts, saith the Lord. Man, you're supposed to be telling others about Jesus, and not with your mouth, with your life. That's right. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine amongst men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Creator, your Father, which is in heaven. So if you want that clean heart, He has to do it. Our hearts have to be empty of our pride, of our sin, and how about this last one, of our guilt. Guilt is hard to get over, right? The devil loves to tell a believer how much he's messed up. That's right, he loves to add peer pressure through people of how we messed up. Man, we go to church and people know we messed up. We don't even want to go to church anymore. They become the judge. And by the way, if you're a true church, love covers a multitude of sin. Imagine if Jesus put our sin up on that screen. I'm on TV, aren't I? Whoa, I got a bald spot right there. I'm getting old. Did you know that? That is not good. Oh, I hate TV. All right. See, that doesn't lie. It tells me what I look like from the back. Man, my wife will say, you look great. You liar. Anyway. I hate that TV. It just ruined my whole day. Anyway, it's a heart that we can't get on our own. Right? My hair is gone. I can't get that back. And I'll try to spray it now and cover it up. I'll do something. Right? I'll try. And that's what we try to do. We try to cover it up. Man, we just got to let God empty ourselves out. Amen? Here I am, God. I am nothing. Job says, I am but a worm. I am dust. From dust I've come, and to dust I shall return. I tell my kids all the time, I don't call them dirt balls. They are dust balls. That's right. You're dusty, dude. Right? Yo, dusty. Calm down. Right? We're just dust. By the way, I think it's like 80-something percent of household dust is you. You're cleaning up after yourself. Ew. That's right. And by the way, you think this is living? This isn't living. This is dying in style. That's all we are. We're born to die. Everly was born to die. She just died 7 days old. Some of us will live till 97 years old. Some 27, some 10. Doesn't matter. Death is coming. You're a dead man walking. So why not let God bring you back to life through His Spirit, through salvation first, and then through sanctification second? Oh boy, you could be born all over again, anew, created anew. But it's only something He can do. You're supposed to be reading your Bible, by the way, daily. You hear the preaching all the time. Man, right? You're supposed to memorize it, hide it in your heart. Why? Because the second part of the word heart is H-E-A-R. What does that say? Hear. You hear me now? I'm loud. I don't need this mic. But, man, I'm so loud. In the city, we have to be very loud. You know, everything's loud. The fire trucks blow right by your house, guns shooting, people yelling, people fighting, screaming. You don't sleep. We sleep all winter long with fans and airs on so we don't hear the outside. That's true. But you got to be loud, and I'm loud. I whistle very loud. You know, I get kicked out of sporting events if I whistle. I'm loud. That's just who I am. So you might hear me, but that's not what God is saying when He says hear. I got an illustration. I'll tell my son, Christian. He's my oldest. Hey, son, hey, Chris, can you go upstairs and get my phone? I left it up on the night table. I need it. He'll say, sure, he's heard me, or he's listening, right? He goes all the way upstairs. He gets to my bedroom door. He goes in. He shuts it. I hear it. He comes back out. He says, what did you want, Dad? You didn't hear me, dude, right? And that's what God's saying. See, God creates the world out of nothing, but He uses His word to create it. David knows this, and David says he's going to use His word in my heart to create a clean heart in me. He needs the word in his heart, and so do me, so do I, and so do you. That was weird English. And so do we. We need the word of God. Man, the word of God is quick. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is a two-edged sword. The word of God convicts. The word of God strengthens. The word of God, man, breaks us down and lifts us up all at the same time. We need the word of God, and we sit under preaching, and we listen, but we really don't hear. Did you ever have that? My wife talks to me while I'm driving. I'm listening. And I'm saying yes to things that I'm really not knowing what I'm saying yes to. Sure, yeah, that's fine. Hon, you just said Christian can move out. What? You weren't hearing me, were you? Right? So we think listening is hearing, but it's not, because you're all listening right now. But how many are you really hearing? See? Now the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you today in a still small voice. And if you've got a lot of other things going on through your mind, you're not going to hear Him. Are the Steelers going to win or lose? Is that roast going to burn? Right? I'm so hungry. When's this guy going to shut up? Right? That's how we think. And the devil will fill your mind with all kind of guilt, all kind of mess ups, all kind of pride. Man, he just doesn't stop. You need to shut him up. Amen. I tell people, shut up and keep on listening. Because the Holy Spirit's always talking. You need to hear him. He's going to speak to you through his word. And you need to put the word of God in. David says in Psalms 119, I will hide your words in my what? That I might not sin against thee. You know what is sin to a believer? Anything that is not by faith. So you think it's just your bad that you're doing. No. When you go to God to ask for forgiveness, if you don't believe that he'll forgive you, it's a sin. Yeah, don't waste God's time. Don't ask him if you don't think he's going to give it to you. And we go to God, Lord, John 1:9, if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I need that, but I don't believe you. Man, you're calling him a liar to his face. God says, that's sin too. You know, when I confess my sin, I confess all my sin. I confess all the bad that I know. I confess all the things that I don't know. Now, I say, God, forgive me for the sins I don't realize I'm committing. Because if it is not a faith, it is sin to a believer. Man, we need the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. So to hear every word, you really have to hear it. Now, how do we hear as believers? By faith. By the way, the word says, faith cometh by what? Yes. You need to hear. You hear me now, the Holy Spirit says. And sometimes we hear him, but we ignore him. Right? We say, oh, shut up, man. Don't ruin my good sin. Don't ruin this. Don't ruin that. Man, we need to hear him. And he'll speak to us. Man, I was in a hospital visiting a friend of mine. And two doors down, I heard my neighbor's voice. He's complaining. He sounds like a big German shepherd dog. He's a big dude, you know? I'm not afraid of him, but he's a big guy. And he's griping and complaining. And the Holy Spirit said, still small voice, go see him. No way. I'm not going to see him. I came to see this guy, and two doors down is the neighbor who hates me. I'm not going to see him. And the Holy Spirit wouldn't stop talking. And wouldn't stop talking. So finally, I obeyed his voice. Man, later on in that psalm, David's going to say, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. But how can you obey if you don't hear? The word of God is like a mirror. We go to it, we see what God wants us to do, where he wants us to go, and we need to hear what he's saying. Don't just, amen. I got a lot in our church. They just nod me. Sure, pastor, amen. That's good. And then they call me Tuesday. I need you to talk to me. And we just preached about that on Sunday. I'm like, I just preached this on Sunday. You weren't hearing it. Well, I was distracted with this and distracted with that. The devil's the father of distractions. He wants to keep us from telling others about Jesus Christ. The whole goal for you becoming a believer is to make other believers. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men and women, fishers of men and women, right? Men means everybody. Man, you're supposed to fish for men. I was fishing. I told a story last night. I cast way out into the bay. I love fishing and hunting. Yes. I never went hunting, though. I did. I hunt alley cats and rats. But anyway, I used to hunt mice in our house, but I broke the microwave glass. I'm a bad shot. I have one eye. So, you know, I was a little off about 30 feet. So, anyway, that's just me. My wife's like, no guns. I carry one, but if I have to shoot at somebody, pray for me. Amen? I'm just going to shoot the innocent people. But so where was I? Oh, the rod. I cast way out. I'm trying to reach the fish. I'm trying to reach him. And I finally got a bite, and he took my bait, this big striper, and he's running out the bay. And I went to reel him in, and the reel was broken. Oh, it wouldn't work. I tried to and the snap, and he's gone. And the Holy Spirit said to me, when your reel is broken, you won't catch anything. And the Holy Spirit said, you better start being real with me and real with others. Don't hide your faith. Be real. By the way, this world is all fake. I mean, if I say I'm a girl, I'm a girl. I'm a girl. Right? That's the world you live in. A girl says, I'm a guy. You better believe it. What if I said I'm a dog? And if you don't believe it, you're a racist. That's where we live. You live in that same world. It just might not be as evident out here in the sticks. But you come to the city. I see them walking by all the time. I have a guy that comes by one day as a girl. And I'll tell him, you look better as a man. And he says, pastor, stop it. Right? Looks like a pretty girl. Then he comes by dressed as a girl. And I'll say, you look better as a guy. And mess him all up. He don't know where he's going now. Amen? I'm trying to reach him. And I play with him. He knows me well. But I'm telling you, that's what we're living in. A fake world. Right? They call good evil. No. Good is good. And evil is evil. Stop being fake. We got fake politics. Fake news. Everything's fake except for you, believer. You got the real Jesus who really died for you, who really's washed you, who's really cleansed you. When this body dies, I'm really going to see his face. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's real. Heaven's real right now. My daughter's alive right now. She's breathing, she's walking, she's talking, and I'm going to see her again. That's real. And the fake world you live in is looking for real, but you got to be it. How are you going to be real? He can make you real, and he does it by you hearing his word. Now, when you hear his word and you believe his word, that's what we're talking about. He then does the last three letters of the word heart. A-R-T. What's that say? Art. He does an artwork on you. Man, you are his masterpiece. And by the way, you're just a piece. You're just a piece. And when all these pieces come together, man, we start to look like his masterpiece. Amen? But you're just a piece, and I'm just a piece, and the master wants to make you like him. You're supposed to be looking like more like Jesus Christ, loving your enemies. Man, sitting with sinners, saving the lost. That's your goal. Man, missions is everything to a believer. Go ye into all the world and preach the what? Good news. Imagine giving out the good news all miserable. Hey, Jesus died for you. You could go to heaven. I don't have the time to tell you the rest. Nobody's ever going to come to Christ. You got to have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my, I can't sing, strength, right? Man, we need the joy. Listen to what Timothy 4:1 says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Wow. You know why you're departing from the faith? You're not putting it in God's word. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word will what? Last forever and ever and ever and ever. The doctor's word foreverly only lasted so long. But she's alive today because God's words last forever. See? And your word and my word will only last so long. God's word will last forever. So I'm not going to put my faith in the doctor's words and my neighbor's words and my church words and my pastor's words. I'm going to put my faith in God's word. And when I do, God's word comes in and it starts to do a work on me. Man, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. You might look at me and say, I don't see it. You got to be patient. Art takes time. You ever see an artist hurry up his work? No. He takes his time as he sculpts it, as he paints it. And then we come to that piece of artwork. You have a piece out here that says angels over at a church. Did you see that piece of artwork out there in the foyer? And last night I stared at it. I was looking for the angels and then they appeared in the clouds there. Oh, when you stare at artwork, you'll see the artist. And boy, when God does artwork from the inside out in your life, the lost will watch you and the church will watch you and your loved ones will watch you and they'll be like, whoa, there's the artist. There's the art. I see what Jesus has done in their life. I see the grace of God. I see God's mercy. I see God's strength. I see forgiveness. I see joy. I want that. And then we want that art and we will spend money on that art to get it to hang in our home. So they come to you and ask you who done this work on you. And then you share the good news with joy. I don't do nothing. I'm just a sinner saved by his grace. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man, Lazarus was dead how many days? And what brought him back to life? The word of God. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth! And he had to say Lazarus' name, they said, because his word is so quick and his word is so powerful that all the graves would have opened up. And so he's very precise, Jesus, and he's going to call your name and he's going to say, come forth, come alive. Boy, and your spirit comes alive. And boy, I get goosebumps as I say that because he moves. He speaks. He fills. He directs. He guides. He strengthens. He washes. He cleanses. Man, he's all wise. And he's going to teach you all things as a believer. Man, you need to come to life. You need to let the word of God in your heart. And when you're alive again, the joy of your salvation, man, you start looking like a piece of work. Amen? People say, I'm a piece of work. I tell them I'm his work. Amen? So if you don't like the work, blame the artist. Amen? If you don't like what I'm doing, talk to him. Let the artist do his artwork on you. Psalms. David wrote Psalms 23. And by the way, I love this. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, right? But look what he says here. He restoreth my, what? Soul. He leadeth me in the paths of what? Whoa. When's the last time you've been led by the Spirit of God in the paths of righteousness? You got to let him lead you. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Man, it's an artwork that God wants to do in your life. Man, he that begun a good work where? In you. Will perform that till the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to perform it. Now we know Paul's writing to the Philippians, and he's talking about missions. But you're God's mission, aren't you? Jesus came to save you. He came to seek and to save sinners. And unless you're a sinner, you can't get saved. That's right, there are no good people in heaven. Only Jesus. And Jesus says, you need me. Man, you need me. I've come to save you. And you believed me. And you received my Spirit. He has sealed you unto the day of redemption. Now obey him and walk in him. And he'll guide you into all truth. Wow. And we've fallen from that. Because of this flesh that we have. And this life that we live. And this world that we're in. And Jesus said, the world hates me. Relax. They'll hate you also. Relax. They're not going to like you. They're going to hate you. They're going to criticize you. Man, I got criticized in the hospital so much. Shut up, preacher. You can't sing Jesus Loves Me. Dr. Lie. That was his name. He's a liar. As she's dying in my arms, I could not sing Jesus Loves Me to her. And I sang it anyway. I didn't care what he said. Gee, I got louder because I'm ignorant. Amen? I say ignorant where we come from. Ignorant. Jesus loves me. He got mad. He walked away. She's dead already. 2 minutes after the song, he comes. He wants to pronounce her dead. So I have to lay her on the bed. I lay Everly on the bed. He's going to pronounce her. He's listening to her heart, making sure. And he goes to pronounce her, and she takes a deep breath. Comes right back to life. 24 more hours. You know what Dr. Lai said to me and my wife and my daughter who's sitting right there? He said, I have no explanation for this but the faith in your God. There is no medical reason that she should have came back to life. She has dioxide. She's dying. Her kidney shut down. And she comes back to life. We don't know how long your God's going to keep her. Enjoy it. 24 more hours she gave us. And then the second time she went with Jesus. We were pros. We already knew what it was like to lose a child. We've been there, done that. Ain't our God good? Say, how do you find good in that? That's good. That's good. And not only is that good, but now I don't have a daughter who's blind or deaf or struggles with problems like some of our children do. And man, we need God's grace, and he'll give you more grace. But I've gotten more of his grace, and he gives me more and more as we go. I think of my man right here. He's special. I love him. Matt was here. Where is he at? Is he here? Special. I love him wherever he's at. Is he here today? He might be sleeping in. Man, they're special, these children. And woe to you who do things that hurt them or talk evil of them or hurt them. Be careful. Kids are a special thing. And now I'm really on the kids' side of things. Amen? Man, Everly taught me a lot. But God taught me a lot through Everly. And I'll tell you what. I will always stand on the Word of God because the Word of God has proven doctors wrong. I even had brain surgeons come in to talk to me. Top in the world. London. He flew in just to see her case. And he said, I cannot believe your faith. I'm a Christian also. Your faith is what's keeping this child alive. She should have been dead. They froze her 30 degrees. They never warmed her one time. Not one time. He was mad. He rebuked the doctor right in front of us. He said, you're rogue. You're your fault. This child should have been this and that. And we can tell you the story. He goes on. We're going to write a book one day. But pray for us. But we were showing Jesus through your hard time. You can show him through the hard times. Just because you have joy doesn't mean you're happy. You just have hope. Joy. I know I'm going to see her. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Not on my face. Down in my heart. Not in this place. Down in my heart. I'm full of joy. You can have it too. That's true revival. You want the joy of the Lord? He does it. He does it through you hearing his word. And when you hear his word and put your faith in it, man, he starts to do an artwork on you. And he which begun a good work in you will perform it. Amen. Let him do it. Stop trying to help him. He don't need your help. He didn't need your help when he created the heavens and the earth. He don't need your help creating a clean heart in you. Let him do it. How do I do that, Pastor? Read his word, believe his word, and let the Spirit speak. What do you got to do? Shut up and listen. Oh, shut up. Be quiet and listen. I'm sorry. City, we tell everybody, shut up and listen. Be quiet and listen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking around. Thank you for your time. At this time, we are going to open up the altar and the piano plays. If you can make it down, you should make it down. The altar is a good place to come. But I'll tell you what, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the middle of you. So he's right there in your seat. Maybe you can't get down. You got those knees or that back. We understand. Now is a great time to bow your head and ask the Lord to cleanse you. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Simply tell him that. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That's true revival. True revival is alive unto God. Alive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't die. Your joy has died. Your faith has died. because of your sin or your circumstance or distresses of life. Whatever it may be, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. You need to talk to him right now. Maybe you're here and you're not a believer. Man, you're on your way to hell. Let me tell you, hell is a real place, just as heaven is a real place. And hell was made for the worst angel ever, named Lucifer. It's an eternal flame that's going to burn an eternal being for eternity. And you, if you don't put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, will find yourself burning with him. Man, the Bible says, for all have sinned. Romans 3:23. Nobody in this room is better than you. Nobody. You're a sinner and you're on your way to hell. You were born with a sin nature that brought you to sin, that brings you to death, and you're going to die. And when you die, you will go to hell. God will not change his word. If he changes his word on that part, then he can't trust him for anything. He is a God of truth. And the truth today will set you free. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. The only way to God the Father is through the one who came to die in your place. The one who came to take your place. And we needed somebody perfect and somebody holy to do it. And Jesus is the man. And he dies on that cross, and they bury him, and on that morning he rises from the dead, and he says, whoever believes in me will rise also. Have you put your faith in Jesus? Stop putting your faith in religion. Stop putting your faith in the Baptist church and in the Mormon and in the Catholic church. They don't save us. Jesus is the one who died for you. Jesus is the one who is buried for you. Jesus is the one who rose for you. And Jesus, by faith, is the one who will save you and seal you. You got to believe it in your heart. May you say, Pastor, that's me. You don't have to raise your hand. You need to talk to God. I can't save you, but Jesus can. You tell God this, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. I know I've tried religion and it isn't not working. I need Jesus Christ and what he's done for me on the cross. I believe your word, God. You cannot lie. I'm putting my faith in your words. He'll give you his spirit. The piano could play. Altar's open. Believer, come on, it's your job. David says later, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. You're not teaching a transgressor your ways. Jesus is the way, and your life needs to resemble that. Your life needs to be in the way of Jesus, be in his way, and that you can teach transgressors which way to go. How's your joy? Is your joy of your salvation alive? Can you hear the Spirit?
Can come to the altar, and maybe you just need to be real this morning. Maybe you need to be real with yourself. Maybe there's been certain things that you've been kind of given, exposing to God, the big things, but maybe some of these little things you've been holding on to, and maybe this morning you need to come and say, God, I want to be real with you. I want to first be real with myself and acknowledge that there is sin in my life. There's some things that are not right. We've been maybe holding on to some of those things. And I want to be real first with myself and acknowledge those things. But then, Lord, I want to be real with you as well. And I want you to take those things from me. I want you to forgive me of my sin. Hey, maybe we have family members this morning that we know aren't being real. Maybe they haven't been real in the fact that they even need a Savior. Maybe they need to be real with where they are in their spiritual lives. And you know that maybe they're making some decisions, doing some things that your word says should not be done. And you need to come forward and pray for them and say, Lord, I pray that they would be real. I pray that I would be real. I pray that my testimony would be real to them, that my testimony would glorify you. And so the altar is open for those that want to leave those things before the Lord. There's still time to step up out of your seat and come forward.